A reading from the Old Testament. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Epistle of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It's genuinely good to be here. Not as the thing you say when you walk up to a microphone to make sure it's on. I mean it in the way a person means it when they have spent a good portion of their life being the only one in the room. You know that feeling. Maybe not for the same reasons I do. But most of us have been the only one of something. The youngest at the table. The new person of the church too proud to ask where anything is. The only one to raise their hand. The only one not to. When you've really lived that feeling, you learn to tell the difference between a welcome that's performing itself and one that's just real. This congregation has some of that real kind. A genuine welcome costs nothing, but it changes everything. But I was handed a microphone and trusted with a few minutes, 19 and counting to be exact, of your Sunday morning. And I take that seriously enough to not just leave you with the nice thing. Because I think a composer named Eric Whitaker, one of the most celebrated choral composers alive today, accidentally wrote a song about the exact question every one of us is carrying right now. You've seen some of the lyrics in your order of worship, but let's look at how the beginning of this piece starts. You're hiding. Nope. Surviving. Yep. You're stubborn, too. True. And you're frightened. I'm not. Not knowing. What? Your heart. Two voices, one pressing toward truth, one deflecting, and both of them, if we're honest, living somewhere inside each of us right now. Many of you know I'm a music person, so when I first heard this piece, I didn't just hear a choral composition. I heard the part of us that genuinely wants to grow, and the part that is just tired. The part that wants to be the hands and feet of God in the world, and the part that checked the weather today, looked at the couch, and made a very reasonable case for staying home. That tension is not a character flaw. That is the human condition. And God has never once waited for us to resolve that conflict before he had already shown up in it. Isaiah wrote to a people whose worship was beautiful. The music was right. The attendance was there. And God said, not as a rebuke, but as an invitation, there is more. Learn to do good. Seek justice. not because they were failing, but because God saw in them a capacity they hadn't yet fulfilled and hadn't yet fully claimed. I made you for a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, God was saying, for the ordinary moment when nobody is watching, and the choice you make anyway is the one that matters. Movement 2. I came to Broadway in 2018 as a TCU choral scholar. Go Frogs. From the outside, this place is a beautiful cathedral. Brick and stained glass and architecture that says very confidently that it has been here longer than you have and will be here long after you're gone. I stood outside before my audition with Dr. Michael Cox. And at the time I thought, I don't know if I belong here. At that time, nothing about the outside, told me that I did. And then I walked in and I met the people. I met Shirley Hanna. I met the late Rhonda Cox. And everything I had concluded about the outside turned out to be exactly wrong about what was happening on the inside. There's a whole sermon in that sentence alone. The outside of a thing is almost never the whole story. I left Broadway to begin the work I believed I was called for as a high school choir director. And then, in 2023, I called Ryan just to let him know that I was praying for him after the passing of his father. Sure enough, after a wonderful conversation, that turned into, well, what are you doing nowadays? Would you want to come work at Broadway? My initial response was, no. But he sent me an email with a description of the job for the adult ministries intern, and he said, just sit with it. And if you know anyone or yourself that might be interested, have them apply. So I felt called back to serve as the adult ministry intern with a focus on our young adults. At that time, I came back to one other young adult and myself looking for a budding ministry. That ministry has since grown to nearly 20 people. And I say that not as a trophy or to gain any applause, but as a testimony that there must be another way is a theology I've had to live. Hear these words from Eric Whitaker's piece. I yearn to soar, so there has to be much more. Yes, there must be another way. We'd have to go high above the wall. We'd fall, perhaps, but then we'd know all the things like wings and worlds we knew before. But we don't have wings anymore. I know, but there must be another way. I love that the song doesn't let the skeptic win. And I say that with full respect for skeptics because I'm absolutely one of them. Skeptics, though, keep dreamers honest. Dreamers keep skeptics moving. And every room needs both. I know, but those three words together are one of the most spiritually courageous things a person can say. They mean, I see the wall, I'm not pretending it's not there, I'm not naive to that wall, and I am not going to let it be my final answer. I'm still here, still singing, still walking into rooms and choosing every time to believe that the room can become something better than what it started. Not because I or you are exceptional, but because we serve a God with a long, well-documented history of doing extraordinary things with ordinary people who just kept showing up. That is resurrection theology. The thing that looked finished was not finished. The thing that looked like an ending was actually a beginning that hadn't introduced itself yet. So, Broadway, what is the wall that you keep standing in front of? Not the world's wall, not the nation's wall, not Texas's law, wall, excuse me, yours. The relationship you've written off, the calling you've been circling for years, the version of yourself you've glimpsed, but haven't yet trusted enough to become. Jesus didn't change the world through strategy alone. He changed it through presence. A woman touched the hem of his garment in a crowd, and he stopped. In a crowd. He asked who touched him, not because he didn't know, but because he wanted her to know that she had been found, that her reaching was not lost in the world's noise. That kind of presence is available to every one of us every single day. But it requires a decision made fresh every morning to be the kind of person who notices, who stops, who asks. But let's be honest about the world we're being asked to do that in. We are watching wars unfold in real time on screens we carry in our pockets. We are still, generation after generation, trying to tell the truth about race in this country and getting exhausted before we get there. And underneath it all is a constant noise that has made reacting an art form, designed to make us smaller, more afraid, more quiet, more divided, more certain that the person who sees it differently is not just wrong, but dangerous. And it is working. We are more isolated, more exhausted, more quick to anger, more convinced than ever that the gap between us is simply too wide to cross. So let me say this gently but firmly. Not everything that demands your attention deserves it. I'll say that again. Not everything that demands your attention deserves it right now. Not every fire needs you to put it out. Not every person convinced that you're wrong needs to hear from you today in the comment section of Facebook. There's a difference between being faithful and being available to absolutely everything. And the noise of today's world has gotten very good at demanding the second one from us. You do not owe the noise an immediate reaction. However, you do owe it your presence eventually. And your peace, always. Because the church, this church, the whole idea of church exists to say that that gap is a lie. Not a naive lie, not a comfortable lie, simply a lie. Because the testimony of the gospel from Genesis to Revelation, from Isaiah to Paul, from a woman in a crowd to a stone rolled away is that God keeps showing up in the gaps. God keeps building bridges out of wreckage of things we were certain were finished. God keeps calling ordinary people imperfect people to stop and notice and stay. So the question is not whether the world is hard. It is. The question is not whether the gap is real. It is. The question, and the only one that has ever actually mattered, is what are you going to do with the next ordinary moment God places in front of you? The ordinary moment. Are you going to be the person who walks past or the person who stops? Are you going to be changed by the people in your life or just informed by them? Are you going to keep standing in front of the wall and calling it permanent? Or are you going to say with everything you have in you, I know, but there must be another way. Build anyway, love anyway, show up anyway. Not because everything is resolved, but because God is not finished, and neither are you. Movement 3. Eric Whitaker's song ends with a question that becomes, by the final chord, something closer to a door. What if all this came true? Pure bliss. What if your wings sailed free? We'd sing. And we'd sing free in perfect harmony. There must be another way. Many of you know I'm a musician, so I can't just let perfect harmony sit there unnamed. Harmony is not everyone singing the same note. That's unison, and unison is safe. The choir's laughing. Harmony is every voice singing its own note in honest relationship to every other voice in the room. The quiet alto holding the middle note is the reason the whole chord can ring. Thank you, altos. You do not get harmony by flattening everyone into sameness. Let me say that a different way. You do not get harmony by chiseling away what's different. You get it by trusting that what each person brings is necessary to the sound. And that is a picture of the church at its best. A community where your voice, what you've been through, what you've survived, what you still dare to hope for is essential. Not tolerated. Essential. So let me tell you the truth about the season we're living in. Because I think it deserves to be said out loud, not just left alone with a phone in our hand. We've become quick to anger, quick to respond, quicker to still look away, to scroll past, to change the subject, to decide today is not the day. And underneath it all, we're still told, gently and constantly, keep smiling. Keep showing up. It will all be fine. But I'm sure that many of you, like myself, wonder, will it? I don't think anyone in front of you can stand and say that we know, but what we do know is faith was never meant to be a performance of okayness. The gospel didn't ask you to hide the wound. It asks you to bring it into the room and trust that you won't be the only one carrying that wound. Two people became 20, not because anyone pretended everything was fine, but because a few people kept showing up honestly, unsure, sometimes afraid, and decided honesty was not the opposite of faith. It was the beginning of it. Seasons end, internships end, rooms change, people you love move into other rooms. And that is not tragedy. That is what it looks like to be fully alive and loved by a God who keeps building something even when we can't see the blueprint yet. The song doesn't end with one voice winning. It ends with both of them, the dreamer and the skeptic, finally together singing the same line. And that is the church. Not a people who have it all figured out or pretend that they do. Not a people performing fine. A people who have decided, even now, even uncertain, to keep singing anyway. There must be another way. And beloved, together, we are it. Thanks be to God. Amen.